Why a Jaime Brienne endgame in the books makes more sense than one might think, based on previous works of George R. R. Martin's. Written by Janie Tangerine. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, A Song of Ice and Fire. Wildcards, The Armageddon Rag. Dying of the Light. Rating, teen and up. Relationships, Jaime Lannister, Brienne of Tarth, and Ray Aykroyd, Hastet. Also tagged for meta, nonfiction, and analysis. Part 6 of the Janie Tangerine, Jaime Brienne meta series. This podfic was created for Annalise O10 for ITBE 2019. Summary. Or, in which, having read a lot of George R. R. Martin's previous work, and having realized that Jaime and Brienne do follow a certain pattern that he has written about already, I meted about how exactly that pattern works, and about why it's very likely the books will not stray from it, differently from the show. Spoilers in depth for all the mentioned George R. R. Martin books in the fandom bracket. So, the specific brand of speculation I am throwing out here is when it comes to Jaime Brienne being canon following George R. R. Martin's previous work, which is mostly based on two specific couples, in Wild Cards and Armageddon Rag. But I'll go at it largely since it includes discussing larger themes in George R. R. Martin's work. Obviously, spoilers for all the mentioned George R. R. Martin books, including the endings slash specific plot points. That is, The Armageddon Rag, part of the Wildcard series, Dying of the Light, and Fever Dream. The first issue I'd like to discuss is the aforementioned George R. R. Martin is more into happy endings than you'd think. While I haven't seen his Beauty and the Beast, and I haven't read everything of his, but I almost did, I'm missing a few short stories and a sci-fi book that's also made of short stories. I read The Armageddon Rag, all of the Wildcard series, Dying of the Light, Fever Dream, and a fair amount of short stories of his, other than A Song of Ice and Fire. Also, Dunk and Egg, but we're counting it as Ice and Fire. Spoilers. None of those books actually have sad endings. Or better, most have one that can be called bittersweet, and it doesn't technically end well for everyone, and or people die, and or suffer through it. But in all of them, Wild Cards is ongoing, but I'll address that later, the protagonists eventually either found happiness or died after a long and fulfilling life, or got to their objective eventually, and there wasn't a total desolation for all or most of the characters. As in, they were angsty books in some points, but believe me, none of that was total nihilism as they made it in the show. Before I go into his ship preferences, I'd like to spend a few words to say that if anyone wants a good insight into what's most likely George R. R. Martin's proto-Rhaegar Lyanna, you really should read Dying of the Light, which is basically the rebellion in space with one of the protagonists, who's so Rhaegar it's not even funny. That one counts as the protagonists get an okay-ish ending, but two other people get a happy one, and one of the other mains dies tragically. Fever Dream instead has the people suffer, but eventually it goes well, and the protagonist lives a happy, fulfilling life before leaving the mortal coil naturally ending. What I want to go into more in depth are actually the other two instances that concern Jamie and Brienne, i.e. the endgame couple in the Armageddon Rag, and one specific wildcards couple, also endgame. Armageddon Rag is the shortest one to deal with, and honestly, if you want the crackiest book ever, where a has-been rock journalist prevents the end of the world that should come through a metal band named Nazgul while reflecting on the Vietnam War and the failure of his generation, you should totally give it a go because it's great fun. But other than that, the protagonist, the has-been jaded rock journalist, is named Sandy, short for Sander, and we can already see he likes to recycle names. But personality-wise, rather than like Sandor, he's way more like Jaime. He really believed in 60s counterculture, and he loved rock music, and now he's disillusioned in seeing how his business and the music industry have sold out, and his whole generation failed to uphold his ideals. He has a very Jaime-like attitude on all of that. And while it's not the main part of the plot, at some point he goes reconnecting to all his old friends from college, including one who came back from Vietnam with PTSD, who's a Theon template to me, but that's beside the point, including his ex-girlfriend Maggie, who was described as A, not particularly beautiful, B, with a broken nose and crooked teeth, unless I remember the latter very wrong, and C, very no-nonsense. And after they reconnect and had sex, they eventually got back together at the end and stayed together. So while that wasn't the main point of that book, it still had a relationship with characters based on the same archetypes, ending up together and staying together. That said, my case isn't just based on that, because then it'd be fairly weak. My case is based on that along with the aforementioned wildcards couple, Jay and Hastet, which instead has similarities in spades. Now, for background slash full disclosure, Wildcards is a shared series George R.R. Martin has going on with a lot of his friends from the New Mexico Sci-Fi Club, where they role-played it in the 80s and then turned it into an actual series of stories. The basic premise is that an alien virus dropped on Earth and gives people mutations. In the ratio whereon of 100, 90 die, 9 get a bad mutation that gives them deformation and the likes, and 1 gets the cool powers. The aliens are called Tekesians, and the virus is the wild card virus. George R.R. Martin wrote a fair chunk of the stories for it until the early aughts, and now edits them along with his friend Melinda Snodgrass. This is relevant information, don't worry. Also, one of the aliens, a scientist named Tachyon, created by Snodgrass, arrives on Earth to help people deal with the virus and stays there for half a decade. Now, who we're talking about here? One of George R.R. Martin's earliest slash long living characters in Wildcard is Jay Aykroyd, who, starting from the name, is, in my opinion, an obvious template for Jamie. I mean, if you take out the incest, since this guy has no sisters to speak of, and the looks, he's average looking. This guy, A, is a PI with a serious bad case of sarcasm slash sense of humor, as in he snarks all the time in also fairly vulgar ways. B, has a fairly good sense of honor, even if he's not exactly lawful good, and always tries to do the right thing, even if it's not convenient or if it means harming his friends. C, has a superpower that has to do with his right hand. He can teleport people by pointing at them. D, has a fairly shitty life, i.e. very few friends and not one single lasting romantic relationship. E, is fairly realistic and not an unreliable narrator. There's also other stuff, like guys, trust me, that dude is basically pre-Jamie when it comes to attitude, life choices, relationship with decency slash his moral compass, and bad slash unpolitically sense of humor. Now, George R. R. Martin's written him most of the time, except in book 10 of the series, which was written by Snodgrass, his closest friend in the group, mind it. And he most likely gave her at least the story when it came to his character, slash approved of it. So we need to work with the idea in mind that this was sanctioned by George himself. What happens in book 10 is that because of very long plot reasons that I won't bore you with because it was a complicated plot and you don't care for the whole thing, Tachyon has to go back to Takis, his home planet, because his insane nephew, who's basically Joffrey and Ramsay's love child, yes, he is, has stolen his ship and wants to conquer it, and he enlists Jay and one of the other mains to help him. So Jay goes to Takis and finds out a bit about alien society on there. Now, Takisians have questionable views, because while they're pretty advanced on a lot of things, not just technology, i.e. they're okay with same-sex marriages and they're down with sex changes, which they can accomplish with their amazingly advanced technology, they have a very classist society, in the sense that if you're noble, you can't have children with commoners, and it's seen as impure and taboo. What happens is that Jay walks into this restaurant and chats up the owner, Hastet, who's a fairly nice Takisian lady. Takisians look human, for full disclosure. And he does it by flirting like a 15-year-old, and she replies telling him to go to hell and pay for his lunch. And he pretty much is a goner after that. Then he's promptly discouraged by Tachyon's friends from pursuing her, because Hastet is basically seen as unworthy and undesirable by other Takisians, because at some point she had a fling with a noble guy while she's a commoner and became pregnant. But they force her to abort the baby slash get a sterilization, and since having children is the most important thing on Takis, she's basically a social pariah. Obviously, Jay cannot care less about that and keeps on courting her, while she thinks he's being not serious until she doesn't anymore. They bicker all the damn time, until at some point she helps him, Tachyon and co., by risking her neck when she has literally no reason to, and actually hates Tachyon's crowd because they ruined her life. After that, they hook up and they get captured by the Joffrey Ramsay love child, who deals with getting rid of Jay's power by cutting off all of his fingers. Don't worry, they get regrown later thanks to amazing technology. Mind that when they hooked up, it was strictly described from his POV as he never felt that way for someone else, and all the extra sappy romantic lingo. Then, after Jay gets his fingers back, he asks her if she wants to go back to Earth with him in an iconic exchange that went like, "How much can you stand?" "A lot." "That would include me?" "I think I could." "Okay, do you want to come to Earth with me?" And she leaves with him after they keep on bickering all the time. We can add that post that book, the most immortal scene together they had was when some other teleporter who had to recruit Jay to stop the bad dude of one trilogy appeared in their bedroom while she was riding the hell out of him, if you get my meaning. But never mind that. Now, Jay and Hastet have serious Jamie Brienne vibes going on, and not just for the stuff I hope was clear from the above, but she absolutely sees herself as wholly undesirable and hates that others see her like that too. But that doesn't stop her from doing what she's good at, regardless of a society that hates her. He's a complete social disaster. Like, he's very good at his job, but he's an extremely lonely person desperate for a connection with someone he really gets. She helps him when she barely even knows him, and she's more fondly irritated than anything else. He doesn't care at all about the fact that she's not desirable for her people's standards, nor cares that she can't have children, which is seen as the most important thing in her world, and cares about her personality first. They absolutely help each other through traumatic experiences. The bickering is mostly him being extra sassy and throwing bad humor at her and her rolling her eyes at him, but progressively learning to like it. Eventually, he gets his own nice agency while she opens a successful restaurant on Earth, and, like, they get to put their talents to use how they want and while being happy instead of miserable because they're together. Now, sadly, the entire book wasn't just about their romance, because let me tell you, it was the best thing about that LSD trip that was book 10. But the thing is, I read Wild Cards after A Song of Ice and Fire, and let me tell you, those two were giving me Jaime Brienne vibes for days. He has so many Jaime vibes going on, it's really obvious that he was either an early version of Jaime, or George recycled some of his personality traits into Jaime later when he was planning A Song of Ice and Fire, including the right hand menomation. And that was book 10. We're at book 28 now, and while Jay hasn't been a main since the reboot, sad, I miss him, he's still around and kicking, and they're still happily married and being horrible saps whenever it's mentioned. Given that this is one of the longer-lasting couples in those books, that there's another Jaime Brienne template going on in Armageddon Rag, and that in everything of George R.R. Martin's that I've ever read, no single book has had a nihilistic bad ending. All the contrary, George R.R. Martin likes a good love story deep down, and there's been a few that went into port even if they weren't the center of the main plot, and that Jaime and Brienne are one of the most obvious romantic setups in those books. Never mind that Jaime's storyline is Cersei's foil, most likely, and since she's definitely not going to live, I would like to presume that he might. I don't want to say that the above means that for sure they'll live happily ever after, but since George R.R. Martin already made two versions of them live happily ever after previously, and he obviously likes his tropes because he recycles them all the time. I mean, honest, Dying of the Light has Proto Rhaegar, Lyanna, John Connington, and Sandor, at least. In Armageddon Rag, there's one Proto Jaime and one Proto Theon, and probably the Proto Brienne. Fever Dream is a vampire novel, but there's one guy who could have had Reek's dialogue slash looked like Theon in his Reek POVs. The turtle from Wild Cards is so proto Sam Tarly, it isn't even funny. Another character of George R.R. Martin's, by the way. And TBQH, if you ask me, Lohengrin, another Wild Cards guy, totally would have gotten along with Brienne. I mean, why the hell would he do the JB dynamic twice? And when he brings it up again in a series that's his magnum opus and the work that will define his name in literature for good, in which all the themes that were to be found in his previous work have been explored much more in depth, because of course A Song of Ice and Fire being the length it is, and having that many more characters allows him to actually give everything a heavier narrative weight, suddenly do a 180 turn and make it go an entirely different way? It's a lot more likely that it's the time that dynamic being given way more space and narrative weight than it had in either Armageddon Rag or Wild Cards is brought to the same conclusion, but just being upfront, center part of that storyline, since he has all the time and space to do it. Premise: I have endless other reasons to assume that neither Jaime nor Brienne are dying, but this is the one I'd bring up for the specific argument concerning George R.R. Martin hates happy people, and he wants everyone to suffer, and there is no way these books end up good for anyone. No, he doesn't, especially people who follow his ship preferences. And he obviously likes this dynamic because he's done it more than once. And if this was entirely discarded by the showrunners in the Game of Thrones finale, it doesn't mean it will be in his own work, which I would expect to be coherent within itself. And until now, there's no textual evidence showing that A Song of Ice and Fire will eventually turn in a different direction. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!